Today is Sunday, July 26th, 2020, and this...
Steve Wynn has given us the best suites in the building, and they're absolutely magnificent. Two stories with a running elevator to go upstairs if you like, you know.
Isn't that amazing?
It's just great.
And the view. A billiards room.
And a billiards room. And a massage room.
A massage room.
And even a bathroom.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 748.
Las Vegas. I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you doing?
Good. You?
I'm doing all right.
We've stayed in that, or no, we have not stayed in that room mentioned in the opening clip, but we know someone who has. Gorgeous pool table.
It's true. We have not been so lucky.
No.
Maybe we'll have an elevator sometime.
Sometime.
We almost had one.
Well, we had one, but it was
inaccessible.
For our use.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be a new level of...
opulence.
Vegas hotel suite. All right, so before we jump into a bunch of news this week, let's thank our supporters, our Patreon patrons, because this podcast is listener supported. We've got a new patron this week. That is Kellen Meese. Thank you for your patronage. Daniel Weiss, Ryan Nematoli. Probably butchered that one, don't you think? I should let
us
you
know.
Do these. Howard Daniels, Tim Sopko, and Dave Lifton. Long-time patrons. Thank you to all of our patrons
for
your support. If you'd like to support the show on a monthly basis, visit patreon.com/500 for details. I know we've been talking about doing another chat. We are going to do that next weekend.
Okay.
We'll get that scheduled in the next couple days, and that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
We've been enjoying those a great deal. Alrighty. So we've got a bunch of news this week. Let's start with the big one that's been in the works for a long time, the Caesars Entertainment merger with Eldorado Resorts. That has finally been completed. It took a long time because they had to get state approval in each state where both of those companies have properties.
And there were a lot of states.
There were many. And under some of the, there were some conditions as far as the number of resorts that they could have. So they had to get rid of some in some states. And anyway, so it's taken a long time, but that has happened. The company, the new combined company, remains named Caesars Entertainment because obviously that has the
bigger name recognition.
Much better name recognition than Eldorado Resorts.
Eldorado, for some reason, reminds me of El Rancho.
Kind of a similar feel to it. The comments that I've seen from people who are familiar with Eldorado Resorts have not been positive.
Ooh.
As far as how they run their properties.
Great.
Yeah, so we'll see what exactly happens over the next couple years.
Was it like maintenance or service?
Yeah, just
or...
that they're I don't know. It seemed like they're kind of a low rent.
Mm.
Not a lot of great customer incentives and things like that. So we'll see. I'll be curious to see if Caesars Rewards gets a negative overhaul as part of this. They have said that they plan to sell at least one strip property within 18 months of the transaction closing. So we will keep an eye out for that. There's been a lot of speculation, of course, and we've discussed it in the past about what might make the most sense to sell. At this point, I think they would probably consider anything except for Caesar's Palace.
Yeah.
That's my guess. So we shall see what they end up doing and what changes
Which
end
one
up
is Caesar's Palace again? Is that the one with Caesar's Palace on every tower?
It says Caesar's Palace. If you're on the strip and you look up and you're in the direction of Caesar's Palace, you'll know because it says Caesar's Palace on each of the 77 buildings that are part of that particular resort. Yeah. So, since we're discussing Caesars Entertainment, we've got a couple other things involving them. Bally's, one of their properties, reopened on Thursday, and like all of the reopenings, some things are open, some are closed. I know they're only using one of the towers for now. I believe the Resort Tower, and not the Jubilee Tower. A couple of the restaurants, Nobu and the Steakhouse, are not yet open. So, you know, if you're planning on going there, as always, keep an eye on their website and their social media. But one of the things I noticed, once they opened, the website Vegas Changes, who often does walks of the strip in Fremont Street and snaps pictures and posts them, they went to Bally's and took pictures of a bunch of stuff. And the one that I'd been waiting to see was the renovated Indigo Lounge, which underwent a pretty major renovation a few years back. And I really liked what they did. We only went in there maybe twice, but it was a really nice space.
It was nice. I enjoyed my time there when we went.
Comfortable, loungy chairs and, you know, kind of, I don't know if they had booths, but they were, you know, it was like couches and chairs that were set up in a booth kind of format, but very comfortable, a little bit more upscale than you might expect from Bally's.
Right. Well, they tore all that out.
Yeah. The renovations look so fucking cheap now.
They look horrible.
It looks like, like, at first I looked at it,
looks like a Kino lounge.
A Kino, I thought hospital cafeteria.
Yeah.
Just, like, basic tables and chairs, not particularly. It looks almost like, they call them Laurel lounges now, but like the Paris Diamond Lounge.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but it's not fancy
it's not
by any.
Luxurious.
Yeah.
Except for the cocktails.
It's basic.
Yeah.
In terms of the decor. So, major downgrade on the on that room. I don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah.
If they just decided, well, the upscale lounge thing doesn't work here, but you would think that they would maybe keep it really nice and just lower the, you know, lower the drink prices and maybe less, fewer and specialty maybe, cocktails.
And maybe take a few chairs out because of these uncertain times.
Right. But yeah, it doesn't look great. So anyway, you can go to VegasChanges.com to check out the photos if you're interested.
And I was so underwhelmed.
And it doesn't have to be that way because they did a really nice job with the lobby bar that opened a couple of years ago. And then this just feels like such an afterthought. And they were working on it for a long time. I suppose it takes a while to tear out all the good stuff and replace it with
boring
basic shit you had in storage. I don't get it.
I don't know what they're thinking. I'm confused by this.
Yeah. So there you go. That has happened. That lounge is not yet open, but you know it will be soon. So check out the pictures if you're interested. Another Caesars property is the Cromwell. That is one of the few strip properties that has not yet opened or announced an opening date. And now we know part of the reason why. According to a website called Vulture, which was subsequently picked up by every other entertainment website on the planet, Season 2 of the reality show Love Island is going to be filming there. Are you familiar with Love Island?
No.
I'm not either. Apparently it started, there was a UK version, and now it has come over here. Based on the description that I read, it's like Big Brother, where they're filmed all the time. Mm-hmm. The contestants are filmed all the time, except for the twist on this one is that there's like cross-pollination. They have to hook up with each other, like sleep together. And if you don't
define sleep together, what is that exactly?
If you don't, you shut your eyes and you fall asleep, and there's someone else next to you. If when two people love each other very much, there's a special hug. If contestants who don't hook up every couple days can then be booted from the show, voted off the Love Island. Apparently, I don't know.
What if you don't want to hook up with anybody?
Well, then you're not on the show.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Cromwell makes good sense for this, I guess, because it's a small property and people can easily isolate there. The entire cast and crew, of course, will be quarantined before and during filming. So I would imagine everything will be contained within that building and nobody will be leaving. I guess they film over about a month. So that's likely to happen soon. They're hoping to get this on toward the end of the summer, I suppose, for the fall season of television premieres, which will probably include about three shows this year.
It'll be pretty sparse.
Yeah. So yeah, it makes sense, I guess, to use that location. And I would imagine that CBS or the producers of that probably got a pretty good deal on using a closed hotel that mm-hmm. otherwise would not be generating a ton of revenue. So I guess it works out well for everyone. I would imagine, you know, filming is going to take a month or so. I would imagine, given the plot of the show, fumigation and cleaning should run through, I'd say, mid-2024. And you can expect to see the Cromwell back online sometime after that. So we shall see when that comes up. I don't think I'm going to watch this one.
No.
No.
Not even the first episode, just to
Okay, maybe I'll watch one episode. I'll watch enough of the first episode to get a clip. But for the opening of the show, but
I'm good.
Yeah.
Even though we're starved of things to watch, baseball's back on, so.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah. Speaking of things that you're never going to watch.
Good segue. You can take over this one because I have no shits to give.
RuPaul's Drag Race, Vegas Review, the Flamingo Strange production is going to also be a TV show. Yay!
Yeah.
VH1 is going to air a 6-part docuseries beginning on August 21st. Remind me to set the DVR.
I think it's broken.
The series will follow 6 drag queens during their personal and professional journeys as performers in RuPaul's Drag Race Live at Flamingo, which had how many shows before the shutdown?
Not like many.
3?
And now it's not... Well, we'll get onto that in a minute.
Okay. The 6 drag queens, in case you're interested...
I'm not. Tell me less.
...are Asia O'Hara.
Oh, she's...
She does some really good costuming.
Oh.
Derek Barry.
Oh.
Mostly known for... Yes. Britney Spears impersonations.
Oh, known so much for that.
And for really good side commentary. Naomi Smalls. Oh, legs finally. For days. Cameron Michaels. Evie Oddly.
Evie Oddly. I'll tell you some stories.
She's fantastic.
Yeah.
And Miss Vanjie Mateo.
Oh, yeah.
Miss Vanjie. Yeah. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I can.
I'm very excited about this.
Oh. There you go.
If you want more details on the show, go to tomandlorenzo.com. They also have a book called Legendary Children that discusses the history of RuPaul's Drag Race.
And what a page turner.
It's a really, yeah, really, it's really good book.
It is. So
I would highly recommend it to anyone interested in gay culture or drag race or both.
VH1 starting on August 21st. Thank you for your work on that particular segment. All right. Speaking of RuPaul's Drag Race Live, that show is now not set to reopen until January 28th. I did a little scan of a handful of showrooms just to see what the ticket sale situation is. So that one's not scheduled to start till next year. In the same room, however, they're still selling tickets for Derek Hough No Limit beginning in late August. I would imagine that'll be changing soon.
Mm.
Shania canceled her August and September dates at Planet Hollywood, finally.
Yeah, August is coming up very fast.
Yeah, like August isn't happening.
Next week fast, so...
In that same room at Planet Hollywood, Pitbull still has 2 shows scheduled for September. I would imagine those will be canceled as well. Over at Caesar's Palace, the Coliseum, ticket sales, the earliest date is September 18th for Rod Stewart. Park Theater has nothing scheduled for this year except for a lone Joe Rogan show in December. That is already a rescheduled show. Now, the MGM Resorts properties, they're, I don't know what they're doing here. Because right now, you can't, under state restrictions, you can't have any shows. It's one of the things that has not yet been reopened under phase 2.
And the way cases are climbing,
yeah.
I don't see that happening anytime soon.
I know, they've already rolled some things back to phase 1. So they're not going to be moving on anytime soon. But despite that, MGM Resorts is selling tickets for a bunch of their shows, including Carrot Top, starting on July 30th with spaced out seating. Mark on the Facebook group pointed that out, that they were doing that. And yeah.
Even with spaced out seating, it's still like not allowed under regulations,
no,
right?
Right, correct. Cirque shows beginning on August 1st. Those don't, based on the seating chart, have any sort of spacing. So anyway, none of this is going to happen. They'll be canceling those in due time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see. MGM Resorts has been doing a lot of that. I mean, they still have, they're like, they have reservations available at the Mirage for, I think, starting mid-August. Maybe it'll reopen by then, but there hasn't been an announcement. So any of the strip hotels that are closed, the Cromwell, Planet Hollywood, they have, I don't know when those are doing reservations, but those are available too, but they all have notes on their page that say, yeah, you're probably, well, you will be moved to another property mm-hmm. if it's not yet reopened. So, you know, there you go. One more show related item, Scorpions, the German rock gods, who had a residency mm-hmm. planned in 2020 at Planet Hollywood. They postponed that a while back. They have now announced new dates. I thought maybe this would get canned because they're talking about doing a full tour next year mm-hmm. if they're allowed. They're now planning on doing their residency dates in May 2021. Hmm. So there you go. Let's book a trip.
All right.
All right. More changes. Let's talk restaurants. Over at Aria, a couple especially notable changes. Chef Sean McLean is out at Aria, and he had two very popular restaurants there. This first came up on the Facebook group. I hadn't seen it anywhere else, and then Simon on the Facebook group noticed that 550, the mm-hmm. pizza place, which is very popular, had not yet reopened when Aria reopened, and it had disappeared from Aria's website. And when he searched for it on Google, it came up in the Google listing as Moneyline Pizza and Bar, and then a couple days later, it reappeared on the Aria website under that name as well. So 550 is gone. They have replaced it with another pizza place, way smaller menu, very basic. It only had like has currently like
I know a lot of people who are going to be disappointed by this.
A lot, five or six types of pizza available. And
I thought you were going to say five or six people.
Well, no. So
no, there were a lot of there were like major debates over 550 versus Secret Pizza for a while.
Yeah, they're different.
But they're totally different things.
They're entirely different.
They're both delicious.
We had substandard experiences at 550, or at least the first time. The second time, I think, was okay. Service wasn't as great, but anyway, that was very popular, and now it's...
It tasted good cold.
MGM Resorts Generic Pizza and Bar. Moneyline is a name that they have used at other properties. Park MGM had Moneyline Sportsbook and bar and restaurant and whatever else, but that has changed. That's now BetMGM, which is their new branding for their sports betting.
Hmm.
That's now BetMGM Sportsbook and Bar. I think there's still a Moneyline at Borgata in Atlantic City. So, you know, it's kind of weird that they would decide, okay, we're going to rebrand to this BetMGM thing, and yet they're using the old Moneyline name
for the pizza place.
I'm wondering if it's temporary,
yeah,
and they're going to revamp that at some point
and make it into something else.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
So then on top of that, the Review Journal reported that Sage, the other Sean McLean restaurant, mm-hmm. again, very popular place since Aria opened, that has closed as well. That's been like a very, not just popular, but like that one receives raves and awards and shit mm-hmm. like that. So I'm wondering if we're going to see a bit of a trend here with some of the resorts that are looking to maybe cut costs, getting away from the celebrity chef thing.
Yeah, that's possible.
Could be happening as a lot of them have long-term contracts, but as those expire, I wonder if there's going to be a slew of bailing. Maybe they're thinking that it doesn't draw in the people that it used to, which I can see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But then once people start coming back, what's going to draw people?
Right. You know, there is something, and I don't know that Sean McLean, I don't know that he was necessarily super well known, but this next story, Lagasse Stadium at Palazzo, similar story. Mm-hmm. Emeril Lagasse, everybody knows who that guy is, even though he's hawking, what is he hawking now?
Oh, like, some kind of air cooker thing?
That's right. Set it and forget it. So Palazzo has closed the sportsbook bar and restaurant called Lagasse Stadium. That opened in 2009. And yeah, so that's gone too. I'll be curious to see what they put in there, if they put another sports book in here. I think the main problem I had with that place was the location. It's not a weird location. Don't you have to go downstairs? It's an odd.
I mean, it's very visible from the outside,
But not from the casino.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a more upscale sports book, stadium style lounge seating, and they made an attempt at better food. Obviously, it had Emeril's name on it, but I think it was more overpriced and
like
they under-delivered and overpromised on the quality of the food.
Right. You're not getting Delmonico quality when you're going there.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see if this continues. We'll certainly be keeping an eye on it. And if we start to see other named chefs disappear from the Strip, I guess it won't be a total shock. But interesting that there are two of these so close together. And who knows what kind of outs the resorts have in their contracts with these chefs. But I would imagine most of them have to either pay them off or wait until the contracts expire. I think that might have been the case with Sean McClain. I think it might have just been the end of his run and they decided not to renew, but who knows?
Didn't Sage have a pretty extensive absinthe venue?
I think so, yeah. And we dined there shortly after it opened.
Yeah, we had a...
It was pretty good. It was like a tasting venue or something.
Yes, it was delicious. Did we go back? No, but it was delicious. I just have fond memories of that.
I think, was that still, was that during the era where there was just a great surge in tasting menus?
Yes.
Like prefix menus
yes.
because of the recession?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those were good times for Vegas visitors.
Yeah.
And not, it was, you know. It
not
was,
so much for operators, but for visitors, yes.
Get some good deals. All right, one more thing here. Following on Palazzo's move to only offer rooms on weekends, Wynn is closing some of its amenities midweek, according to the Review Journal. The Encore Spa and Salon, along with Charlie's Bar and Grill and Wynn Buffet, are going to be closed on some of the days midweek. It varies depending on the location. Like Tuesday and Wednesday, those are all going to be closed. I think Thursday on at least one of them. So, as we've mentioned many times in the last couple months, hours and openings of restaurants and amenities and all those things are changing often.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're planning on going soon, keep your plans very loose and keep an eye on resort websites and social media and all that. And I feel a little bit like I keep saying these things over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily any attempt to dissuade anyone from going if they want to go. It's more
be prepared.
Set your expectations low
to
avoid being disappointed when you get there. That's the main thing. I hate to hear that people had a bad trip because of stuff that they really anticipated doing not being available to them.
Yes.
So if you go in with your expectations low and you realize that some of those things, even though they might appear to be open a week before your vacation, they may end up closing.
Mm-hmm.
If you go in realizing that that might happen and
adjust your plans accordingly.
Yeah,
have some backups.
You might need to adjust and do something you weren't planning on doing. If you go in with that mindset, you're probably less likely to be disappointed. I just want people to have a good time.
Yeah.
That's all. So there you go.
If we were to go, which we most certainly are not for a while.
Yep.
I mean, I have such a long list of restaurants that...
I know. It wouldn't be hard to find
alternatives
to, to whatever the main thing is that we want to do, but... Yeah, but if, for people who are super planners, like not just like we plan a certain amount of things out and have it, but it's more of a list of things to choose from once we're there. People who like to schedule things very precisely and have specific things,
yeah.
I think they might have a harder time. So maybe you need an A, B, and C for each cell on your spreadsheet.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain things that are irreplaceable, like Latai, but...
That's been closed, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it reopened and then it closed again. So, again...
Yeah.
Some of these things are closing as a result of employees getting sick and out of precaution. They'll close for a couple weeks. Those things you can't really plan for and they come up and they just happen. So, or as we're seeing, especially during the week, the Strip is dead. Somebody on the Facebook group said that they walked up and down a pretty good segment of both sides of the Strip and went into all the properties, and this is midweek, and during the day, covering that much territory, he said he probably saw fewer than 500 people total.
Wow.
I mean, that's not that's not great for business, obviously.
No.
Weekends have been picking up, I think. Or picking up from the week, at least. I think they're getting a lot of drive-in traffic, a lot of California license plates in town on weekends, but during the week it's a ghost town, so a lot of reduced hours.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's what's going on this week and our thoughts on those things. Before we move on, let's do one of these. Do you
remember? I don't remember fucking anything, man.
This is one of those residencies that wasn't. This would have been a good one, too.
Mm-hmm.
November 2008, show number 190, we talked about a report that Canadian sketch comedy legends Kids in the Hall were in negotiations for a Vegas residency.
Oh, they're great.
They are great.
We've seen them live a few times.
Yep. Yeah. I was trying to remember how many, two or three.
Yeah.
So Scott Thompson, one of the members of Kids in the Hall, he told Las Vegas Sun, I believe that the article coincided with them doing a one-off show in Vegas as part of a tour.
Mm-hmm.
May have been a tour we saw. He said at that point they had been working with Caesar's Palace. They were negotiating for at least a short-term residency there. Unfortunately, that was the last we heard of it. Apparently, they didn't reach a deal and it never happened.
Hmm.
I'm sad.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen that.
Same.
I don't remember when the last time they toured is. I don't know if they really...
It's been a while.
Yeah. But they always put on a really fun show.
Mm-hmm.
I like those guys. I always like their TV show and their live stage show was fantastic. So, bummer that didn't happen. All right. That's going to do it for this week. Before we wrap up, we're going to do something a little different at the end of the show this week.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some music for you after we do our little goodbye thing. So, friend of the show, and I'm going to name him right now, 500's official country troubadour,
mm-hmm.
Eric Shaw. Folks who are at the summit may remember him. He was a costume clash winner, had that awesome Vegas Vic costume.
Yep.
Well, he's a talented musician as well, and he put a song out. We're debuting it, actually.
Wow.
500 exclusive.
Oh, God.
A song about Vegas that's really great, and, you know, I'm not a big country music guy, and this is kind of a little bit more of a blues kind of feel to it, but anyway, mm-hmm. It's a good song. I like it, and I played it for you, and you liked it, too, so that was cool, and Eric was happy to hear that. So anyway, Eric told me about this song a while ago. He sent me a demo, and I'm like, dude, when you get that finished, I'd love to play it on the show. And so anyway, he got it finished. He sent it off to me, and I told him we would play it. So we're mm-hmm. going to do that this week. And in the show notes, if you like this song, and I know a lot of people have Vegas playlists, if you want to add this to your playlist, you should do so. I'm going to put links in the show notes for its availability on Apple Music and Amazon Music. So go and buy it. Add it to your Vegas playlist and love it forever. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's called Devil in the Desert, and you're going to hear in a couple minutes. But as always, 500bymidnight.com is the website where you can get those links, see our show notes. You can email us if you'd like, 500@gmail.com. Dear Tim and Michelle, questions are always welcome. You can find us on Twitter. I'm 500. She's Anita Martini. And of course, the voicemail line. We'd love to hear from you. Not a lot of people in Vegas right now, not getting mm-hmm. a lot of calls. So feel free to call if you have some insight you'd like to share. 702-866-9494. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We'll be back soon with another show. Until then, enjoy Eric Shaw's Devil in the Desert. Later.
Bye.
When the sun peaks up behind the mountains and casts an orange glow, it don't quite wash out the sight of the neon lights below. I've been here 3 days, but I gotta say it feels more like 35. I keep meaning to learn my lesson, but this happens every time. I'm down to my last 20, nothing much to show, but an empty chair and a desperate prayer for bullets in the hole. When the cards are dealt across the field, these eyes go black and cold. My last chip's in the middle, it's too late now to fold. She's a siren on the cliff's edge, and I'm speeding towards the rock. Headed for disaster, but I can't shut this engine off. And the lights and lies and nights gone by have now faded. She's a devil in the desert. She's gonna get her too. Yeah, I'm a willing victim, and my memory is short. It's a battleground, and this time around I'm settling the score. When she gives me hell, I should tuck my tail, turn around and run. But I ain't one for good decisions when the bad ones are this much fun. She's a siren on a cliff's edge, and I'm speeding towards the rocks. Might be headed for disaster, but I can't shut this engine off. Desert.